Welcome to the Sportscast Black Friday special, November 23rd, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you are on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Big weekend this weekend. Rivalry games are beginning. And one of the biggest rivalry games in SEC and maybe in the country is Alabama versus Auburn. But this one might be a little bit more of a low-key, or is it? We got Justin Riley to join us to talk about us about the Iron Bowl. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, great to be here and great to be a part of the inaugural Black Friday special edition of this podcast.
No problem, man. It's always a first for everything. How do you see this game? Obviously, Alabama's ranked number one. Auburn is not having a good season. How do you take this game this year?
Well, like you said, obviously this game is not getting the notoriety that many believed that it would going into this season. Going into the preseason, a lot of people had very high hopes for Auburn as they were ranked in the top 10, I believe number 7 or 8 at one point. And we're expected to do a lot of things, and it was setting up for what may have been an epic showdown for the SEC West at the end of the football season. However, Auburn's season took a turn dramatically downward, and they have not been producing the way that many expected them to produce. Certainly, their defense has been on point, and they have NFL caliber players on the line and at linebacker, with their secondary being their weak link. But the biggest disappointment has been their offensive output. Jarrett Stidham has had a pedestrian, I guess, at best, season throwing the ball. And many were predicted him to be a first-round draft pick, a possible first-round draft pick. And as some people predicted that they were going to have a little bit of problem with a young offensive line, and it was very, very true. It did come to pass as that. And the backfield was really inexperienced as well. Definitely were not putting up the numbers that Auburn saw last year with Kerryon Johnson and I believe Fetway. So that, and then the receiving core just really hadn't got off to the great start that they were expecting either. So it's just been a really down year for Auburn. Matter of fact, a lot of the Auburn faithful right now are getting a little frustrated and perhaps even calling for Gus Malzahn's job. However, this is still one of the bigger rivalries in college football, regardless whether or not it has playoff implications. Still one of the best rivalries to watch, and regardless of what the stats say or what the eye test may show, it's going to be a tough game for Alabama, and I believe that Auburn's probably going to play their best ball of the year because they certainly want to upset their cross-state rival. So I think it's going to be an interesting one to watch.
What is the status on the quarterbacks?
The status on the quarterbacks is a lot better. This past game against Citadel, Tua Tagovailoa played seemingly without pain and without limitations. There were several times where he actually did run the ball, which made a lot of us very nervous. Matter of fact, whenever he runs the ball, I think the Alabama Nation will go into immediate prayer service. But he didn't have a brace on. That was a great sign showing that perhaps maybe he got a little bit better and was able to maybe work through some things and get better. So he did look great. Looked like he was more on target with his throws, a little bit more crisp. But the biggest thing is the return of Jalen Hurts. I mentioned in a previous podcast that reports had come out of Birmingham that there might be a possibility that Jalen Hurts did not return in the regular season, perhaps probably due to not knowing the true severity of his injury. However, Jalen did come back, and he did play very well. Matter of fact, he threw a touchdown pass in the game. He looked like he was the Jalen of old. However, I really can't say that because Jalen really didn't run the ball. He was pretty much throwing. So we really don't know how strong that leg is where he had that high ankle injury. So I guess that will remain to be seen. And we'll see what happens with that. But it's great to have Jalen Hurts back in the fold. Definitely makes us feel a lot better if, God forbid, something does happen to Tagovailoa.
Do you think Jalen Hurts might see some game time this weekend, or you think it's too premature?
Well, I think that you will see Jalen Hurts. Well, as to how much, it may determine on just how healthy he is. But I do think that Saban will put together some packages for us to see Jalen come in and not just run away. But I think we'll see a little bit of Jalen thrown in before that. And also, I think, too, we'll see him a little bit, you know, to kind of give Tua a little bit of a breather just because of the knee situation.
Will we see the running back Damian Harris back this weekend? Of course, he had a concussion not too long ago.
He did have that concussion. Matter of fact, that hit or that takedown was pretty brutal. His head got slammed pretty hard onto the turf. But the good thing is he has clear concussion protocol, and he will be able to go in this game. Just how strong he'll be, we don't know. So we may see a huge dose of Najee Harris and Josh Jacobs. But he will be back. But on the other side of the ball, the question still remains is Deontay Thompson going to be able to go? He sustained a seemingly painful knee injury against Citadel. One of the Citadel offensive players took a shot at his knee, and he had to come off the field, and he was quite angry and in intense pain. So I hadn't really heard any reports as to how his health is going to be. Another question mark is we have two of our starting offensive linemen who are listed day-to-day, and that's Alex Leatherwood with an ankle and Deontay Brown with a turf toe. Saban said they're day-to-day, but more than likely we'll see action in the Iron Bowl. But that's a very, very important factor for our offense in this game.
How good is Auburn's defense?
Auburn's defense is actually really good. They have up front what looks like to be a future NFL roster. They're led by Derrick Brown, Deshaun Davis, Darrell Williams, and Dontavius Russell. They are only allowing 16.6 points per game, and so that's not too bad at all. They're one of the better defenses in the SEC. The only reason why their stats aren't quite as good as one would like is because they've had to spend a lot of time on the field just due to the inept production of the offense. But they're a really, really good team up front, like I said. But their secondary is the weaker link. So Alabama had to find success starting out through the air in order to wear down this defense and cause them to back up so that we can open up some things in the running game.
This is the game right before the SEC Championship, Georgia. Big weekend for Alabama, of course, no matter how weak you think Auburn is. And you can catch that game 3:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Let's look at Wednesday's night game. I believe it was Wednesday. No, on Thursday, yesterday. Mississippi State defeating Ole Miss 25-3. What were your thoughts? I mean, sorry, not 25. 35. Scored 10 points.
It was 35. Yeah. Well, going into the game, a lot of us felt that Mississippi State had the much better team and that they would seemingly run away with the game. But then, you know, again, just like with the Iron Bowl, the Egg Bowl is a pretty intense, heated rivalry. And more often than not, the team that's supposed to win often does not. So, but the biggest thing against Ole Miss is their lack of defense. And it's been pretty crazy to see as the season has progressed. There has been no progression for their defense, which usually when teams are very young and inexperienced and are having problems, usually by mid-season, you'll see improvement, you'll see growth, and you'll see maturation. But that has not been the case for the Rebels defense. They've been just atrocious for the majority of the season. Even though their offense has been one of the better offenses to watch in the SEC, with Jordan Thom, who I believe now has thrown over 4,000 yards, it kind of takes away from everything when that defense can't stop anyone. But the biggest concern was, would Mississippi State be able to stop that offense I was talking about? And they did. They got to Tuamo quite early. Matter of fact, Tuamo had to leave the game due to injury, and backup Corral had to come in. And after that point, Mississippi State just imposed their will against Ole Miss. I guess one of the more exciting things of the night was the all-out brawl that ensued between both teams, and every single player was penalized by the referee. I don't think I've ever seen that before in a college football game or any sport, for that matter. It was kind of funny.
Exactly.
But Mississippi State did what they were supposed to do, exacting revenge after last year's loss in Starkville, and now they're going to be looking forward to the offseason.
Yeah, there's not much that could happen for Mississippi State. They're ranked 18th in the college football playoffs rankings. And let's switch to the NFL. Your boy Amari Cooper had 180 yards for the Cowboys in their win against the Redskins, 31-23. Is Amari the old Amari again?
I would say so. And Amari had a lot of doubters when that trade was taking place. A lot of people felt that his time was over. And matter of fact, a lot of the analysts and experts were saying that he was a bust. But I thought that was very harsh, just because of the situation going on in Oakland. Oakland is just a complete and total shipwreck. Maybe even worse than a shipwreck. It's just absolutely awful. So I felt that situation there really was preventing Amari from playing at his fullest potential. And of course, I mean, anybody would play in a situation like that. And I felt when coming to Dallas that you'd see a return to old form. And it looks like my prediction has been true. Each game, Amari has gotten better, and he's actually added another dimension to the offense for the Cowboys that just, quite frankly, has not been there. And also has helped spark Dak Prescott's performance. A lot of people were down in Dak Prescott and were blaming him for the offense's woes. But, you know, I disagree with that completely, just because of the fact is that he had no weapons. He has no receiving threat there. And now he does with Amari. So you're starting to see things get a little bit better. And because they had that extra option with Amari, now Zeke is having much better production too, because that pressure's coming off of him. So now defenses not only have to key on Zeke, but they're keying on Amari too. So it's causing them to back off a little bit and allowing Zeke to have more opportunities to do bigger things.
It was quite interesting to see the matchup between Clinton Dix against Amari Cooper. But Clinton Dix could not, catch up to him.
I love Clinton Dix, but Amari Cooper is a special breed, and he tends to make a lot of good defensive players look silly. I hate it for Clinton Dix, but, you know, hey, like I said, Amari's been doing that to a lot of folks.
They were former teammates back in Alabama, so we're seeing a lot of Alabama star power. Julio Jones had a good game last night as well.
Yeah, he did. So unfortunately, Atlanta just can't really do much of anything or get out of their own way. He had a decent game, but he also made a lot of mistakes. It's not really typical of Julio Jones. I'm referring to that fumble that was costly for them that he had during the middle of the game. He just doesn't seem to kind of be the typical Julio that we're accustomed to this year for whatever reason. However, it is opening up more opportunities for Calvin Ridley, though, even though but Calvin Ridley didn't have much of a game either, it looks like. He and Julio were pretty much shut down to a point, and Sanu was the only one that was really able to do much of anything. But then again, the Falcons didn't do hardly anything anyway.
Yeah, Julio Jones had 147 yards. Calvin Ridley had 93 yards. Atlanta has star power, but the Saints are just way too much for anyone right now, especially playing in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in New Orleans. So it should be Saints are a contender. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the NFC. We have a short show today, but we're going to go on to game predictions. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Oklahoma at West Virginia.
Well, this was supposed to be one of the bigger games of the weekend, and it was supposed to draw a lot more attention than it is right now, mainly because of the disappointing loss that West Virginia had last week to Oklahoma State, which they led for the greater part of the game, but allowed Oklahoma State to come roaring back and winning in the final moments of the fourth quarter. However, even though West Virginia is out of the race for a playoff spot, they still are in the race for a Big 12 title shot should they beat Oklahoma. And matter of fact, if West Virginia beats Oklahoma, then Texas is still in the conversation. So it's going to be an interesting game for those who are Big 12 fans. Of course, Oklahoma is still trying to vie for a playoff spot themselves, so this is a big deal for them when trying to lock this up. It's going if you like offense, again, tune into this game, because as we know, the Big 12 is not about defense. So you got Kyler Murray and Will Greer, two of the more productive quarterbacks in the Big 12 and the nation, going head to head. So it's going to be pretty exciting to watch. Man, Kyler Murray also has been closing the gap and for this Heisman race, just because of the video game like numbers he's been putting up. He's got 3,310 yards and 34 touchdowns passing, but an additional 739 yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. So 44 touchdowns total, man. That's just absurd. And he also has one of the better wide receivers in the game who is not getting the praise that he deserves, because focus has been on other receivers, but he's quietly has 1,021 yards receiving. This should be a pretty exciting game to watch. However, in the end, I'm sure Oklahoma is going to find some way to make this a game, because their defense is just really unenthused week after week. I mean, matter of fact, they gave up 40 points to Kansas last week, so I don't see any reason why they don't do the same to West Virginia. However, West Virginia has had their opportunity to prove to us that they're ready for prime time, but they're not. So I think while it's going to be an entertaining game for most part, I see Oklahoma pulling away late and win this game.
Oklahoma wins. Washington at Washington State.
Man, this is going to be another exciting game to watch, especially for the Pac-12 there. I believe the winner will lock up a spot in their championship game. But more importantly, Washington State is still trying to fight hard to get into the college. Washington State is really playing some of their best ball the entire season. And I think that's largely due to the fact that they're not getting, I guess, the respect they feel that they deserve. So they're out to prove a point, as they've been just really taking it to their opponents here as of late. Gardner Minshew probably is one of the better quarterbacks in the nation right now, numbers-wise. He's got 4,325 yards and 36 touchdowns, and has a trio of great receivers. But don't sleep on Jake Browning. Yeah, he's not really having the year that a lot of people were expecting him to. Matter of fact, a lot of folks were expecting him to be in the Heisman conversation and perhaps be a high draft pick in this year's upcoming draft. But he's only got 2,400 yards passing. But Myles Gaskin really is the face of the offense right now, and he tends to take the load on his shoulders and carries them And I believe this is going to be a tough game for the duration of the game. But I believe that Washington State is going to come out on top and then just try to inch closer to the playoff and try to add to the resume and prove that they belong.
Michigan at Ohio State.
Wow. The game of the weekend. This is the defining game for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan program. Are they finally going to be able to get that monkey off their back that is Ohio State? Are they finally going to be able to ascend to elite status? You know, these are big questions that we're going to have answered here. The eye test says Michigan beats them convincingly. But as we know, this is a big rivalry game here. So you really can't go by eye test. You really can't go by stats and paper and stuff like that because you just got to throw it all out. Got to throw it all out. My only concern is which Ohio State team is going to show up. Because here, ever since that loss suffered to Purdue, they just have been playing week after week like they really don't want to be in the game. And it's like they do just enough because they feel that they can to get by. I mean, they had a scare against Maryland, and it shouldn't have even been a scare. They should have beaten them soundly. But like I said, they're just playing unenthused right now. So is that team going to show up defensively for Ohio State against Michigan, or are they going to play to their capability? Certainly their offense has the firepower to do it, but is the defense going to play well? So. And the thing about this is, too, is Ohio State's offense is impressive as it is with Dwayne Haskins. They're going against one of the better defenses in the country right now, led by Devin Bush for Michigan, which seems like Devin Bush has been there for like 10 seasons. He'll never graduate. it's going to be interesting to watch. For Michigan, not a really flashy offense. Kind of resembles like an old ground and pound style of football we saw in the 80s and 90s. Shea Patterson's not really putting up gaudy numbers this year, but he's a very valuable part of that offense and has been getting better each game. Caron Higdon really is the workhorse and the star of that offense. Leads their rushing attack with 1,106 yards and 10 touchdowns. I really want to see Ohio State go down, but I'm having a tough time going back and forth about what I want and what's actually going to happen. But I think this is going to be the year that Harbaugh finally gets it done and beats Ohio State and then goes to that Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, if they want to continue this route to the playoffs, they got to win this game and obviously the Big Ten championship. Next, Syracuse at Boston College.
Another game that probably would have received a lot more notoriety than it is right now, and that's largely in part not because of Syracuse losing to Notre Dame, but Boston College laying an egg against Florida State this previous week. Really no reason why they should have done that, but they did. But this is a good rivalry game. But I think it's going to be a close affair because I think the Syracuse is still reeling with injuries and just they're having a tough time. However, I believe that Syracuse is going to pull that one out.
Syracuse wins. Go Orange. Utah State at Boise State.
I believe Boise State's going to take this one. Boise State is just a really, really tough team, playing very good at this time of year. And as good as Utah State is playing right now, I just think that Boise is going to have the edge and they're going to take this game.
Boise takes it. Go Blue. Oregon at Oregon State.
Well, maybe if this was an SEC game, I might care.
You're into your first.
You know.
This is an in-state rivalry.
I'm just picking. Had to take a shot at Ty since he's been taking a shot at my Crimson Tide and don't want to hear anything else about them.
It's tough to be a Bama fan these days.
It is. I understand the Bama fatigue right now. If you're not an Alabama fan, everybody is just really wanting to see the dynasty end. Much like in the NFL, those of us who aren't Patriots fans are really tired of the Patriots and want them to be done. I can definitely vouch for that, because being a Baltimore fan, I'm ready to see them done and I'm ready to see us back to where we should be. But anyway, we're getting off the point.
You're going to do a rant.
But this game, it's one of the better rivalries as well. Always interesting to watch. Oregon just really hasn't been playing as well as they should lately, but I do think that they're going to show up and show out against the lesser talented Oregon State, who just can't seem to quite get together yet.
They're the worst team in the Pac-12, I've heard.
There's a reason that they've drawn that. But I think that Oregon will win this game, but I think it'd be closer than it probably should be.
Florida at FSU.
Man, that's going to be a dangerous game to watch. Florida State's been playing inspired here as of late. Not sure why they wait to the very end of the season to actually do something, but nonetheless, here we are. Florida State actually is in danger of seeing their bowl streak come to an end. If they lose this game, they will be out of the bowl picture for the first time, I believe, since 1982. So that's kind of a big deal, and this game really will mean a lot for that regime in Florida State going into next season. I think it's going to be a tough contest. I think Florida is definitely the better team, but I think Florida is going to find some way to struggle offensively, just because that's what they're tending to do. And I'm still not on the Felipe Franks bandwagon. He needs to go on. He needs to switch to be a tight end or something, because he's not a quarterback. So I think that Florida State's going to give them fits, and they're going to take it to the wire. But I think Florida's going to edge them out at the end.
The Gators win. Rivalry weekend, and Auburn at Alabama.
Auburn at Alabama. It's going to be a tough game. A lot of people aren't giving Auburn much of a chance, but if you recall back in the 2009 edition of this rivalry, where Alabama was undefeated rolling towards their national championship that year, they had a tough time with Auburn. Auburn jumped out to a 21-0 lead. And Alabama had to play catch-up for the majority of the game with that final touchdown coming in the last few seconds of the game. And I think it's going to be a tough game to watch. I think that Auburn's going to come out fired up and ready to go, and Alabama's just going to have to wear them down. I believe that they're going to have to, like I said earlier, get majority of their impact done through the air first before anything opens up in that running game. And as long as Alabama doesn't do anything costly to beat themselves, I believe that they're going to be in great position to win this game and win it convincingly, but late in the game.
How many minutes do you think Tua Tagovailoa will be playing?
I think he's going to be playing for the majority of the game. I think he'll probably play until the fourth quarter, if not later, and then once Alabama pulls away, we'll see him sit down.
And before we end the show, one of the comments says that he can deadlift 305 pounds.
Who's that?
Some guy named Lovelight.
Who is it that's deadlifting 305 pounds?
Himself.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Tagovailoa.
Oh, no. I don't know if Tua can do that now.
Well, I definitely wouldn't attempt it with that knee issue. But, yeah, that's pretty good weight. That's keep driving and keep pushing and work hard and make those numbers go up. But that's really good, really impressive.
It is impressive, like this Black Friday special, big weekend ahead of us, couple rivalry games, Florida, Alabama, you know, we just had Mississippi last night. So, Justin, how can people reach you to talk about the Iron Bowl?
Well, you could email me first, 121 training, that's the number 121 spelled out, training@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook /121training. If you really want to talk with me, find me on social media at 121 training on both Twitter and Instagram. I should be available to comment live on Twitter during the game. That's where I tend to typically be, making comments throughout the duration of the game. And hopefully I'll behave myself too.
And give us a score for this Saturday.
I believe Alabama will win 31-17.
31-17. That's probably the closest game they will have this season if that score happens. Justin Riley, thank you very much for coming on to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here, man, especially for the Black Friday edition.
Thank you.
But anyway, have a great weekend and roll tide.